The good news of Jesus Christ, according to John. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of Christ. God, grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. In the name of God, amen. In talking with folks these days, there's an inevitable sentence that one of us or both will eventually come up with. When invited to do something, I hear over and over again, "You know, I just don't have time. There's not enough time in the day." People still waiting for that 25th hour. Or there's a new word that's finding some roots here locally. Actually, all around. People are saying now, "I just don't have the bandwidth to deal with this." Well, I've heard this for so long, and it never made sense to me. And I imagine most of you have probably come across this, especially if you're an employer or ever have been an employer. At one time, I was a director of a facility that had about 85 employees, and we had three shifts during the day, and the first shift began at 7 o'clock in the morning. And there was this one woman who repeatedly came in for her 7 o'clock shift at about 7:20. So, you know, being the dutiful employer, I had to take her aside and say, "This is not acceptable. You need to be here at or before 7 o'clock to start your shift." So after about two of those and written up reprimands, I had to say, "Look, you really have to show up at 7 o'clock, Because if you don't, we'll call you unemployed. She said, you know, I just don't have time in the morning. I said, you don't have time. You have the same amount of time everybody else does. And they're here at 7. She says, well, I just can't get it all together before 7 o'clock. So realizing in my mind that this really isn't about her desire to be there or really about time, I said to her, let's just pretend that tomorrow morning there's a $500 envelope sitting near the sign-in clock. And the first person to show up to sign in for their 7 o'clock shift gets that $500. Now, what time will you be here tomorrow? She said, is it real? I said, I don't know. She said, I'll be here at 7. And guess what? 6:55. She showed up. There's just not enough time. Or said truthfully, I don't have the desire. That is, for most of us, what's underneath the complaint of lack of time or lack of ability to provide that time. And that's really too bad, because it shows a belief, it shows a propensity that time is scarce or resources are scarce and you don't have enough. But what I find in today's story in the gospel is that for Jesus, there's never not enough. Jesus had before him always what is had before his eyes, always what is most important. His priority was always set, and everything fell into place thereafter, because he, abiding in God, always choosing the pathway of love, finds what is available and present to all of us, and that is God's abundance. For Jesus, there's just no such thing as not enough. Look at this story in the gospel this morning. Jesus is stepping out for the first time in public life. And for everything that he does in the gospel of John, Jesus is revealing what it means to be a follower. If you want to be a follower of mine, Jesus says, watch what I do. And this is the first thing he does. He is revealing abundance, not scarcity. To follow Jesus, clearly from this story, starts that we see, taste, and feel grace upon grace. The wedding at Cana. We've heard this story. We know this story. We could tell this story to our grandchildren forever. And it's a beautiful story, but I think we might miss some of the really significant points. For example, it said on the third day. Why would John say it's on the third day? Because on the third day of creation, plants, grasses, trees, the dry land emerged from the soup of the oceans and began to be earth. This is when God's abundance was clearly known, when the plants and the earth emerged. Also, we should remember reflectively what happened on the third day to Jesus, yes? Jesus is at a wedding. Wedding is one of the most joyful days in the life of a couple and in the life of a neighborhood. I lived in Israel for a year, and there was nothing better than the announcement that somebody in the neighborhood was getting married, because everybody was invited and everybody showed up, and the party lasted at least 5 days. And it was a glorious opportunity to be together. It's a day filled with promise, excitement, and let's not overlook the anticipation of bride and groom to spend that night, that first night together. It was in Cana. If you've not been to Cana, let me tell you. It's a beautiful town with breathtaking vistas of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was invited. And his mom was there as well. And his disciples also were invited. These were not just you plus one. This is bring your family, your friends, anybody that you can find. And a full indication of what joy was to be had in this story. And at the end, the best wine was available when you least expected it. And by the way, let me tell you that I did the calculations. And yes, at the most of 180 gallons of wine, that's about 1,000 bottles of the good stuff. Abundance. It's all about joy. Everyone was enjoying the free life of the wedding party. And then Jesus is told that someone did not find abundance. There was somebody there who was confronted with emptiness and perhaps shame in front of the family and neighbors. Perhaps we find in Jesus' reluctance that in his life, he was enjoying that abundance. He participated in that abundance and wasn't yet ready to extend that beyond himself. Yet at the insistence of his mother, he finds that there is an opportunity to extend abundance, to bring joy to others at the party for abundance. Tapestry Farms offers us an opportunity to live our commitment to abundance, to joy, an opportunity to see what happens as a community when we serve one another, serve Christ, doing Christ's work. Anne's going to tell us that story now about how this happens and how we can participate in that abundance, that gratitude that is available to us. I forgot. That's fine. Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, good morning, everyone. On behalf of our board of directors, our colleagues, including Fidel, who's here with me today, and all who are already involved with Tapestry Farms, thank you for the welcome that we have been extended by all of you into this community. Christopher and I were talking a little bit earlier this week about this time, and abundance was the word that kept coming up. I'd like to share two or maybe three very, very short stories to show you some abundance in our world of Tapestry Farms. 8 years ago, the pastor at the church that I used to work at came into my office and shut the door and said, "I really think we need to work with a resettling refugee family." He asked me if I knew who to call. I said yes. Her name was Amy Rowell. I called her, and one very long story short, our congregation welcomed a family of seven from Democratic Republic of Congo. Noella, Charlene, Chantal, Deborah, Jerome, Rebecca, and Rahima arrived in September of 2016. That one family sparked an effort that has now reached more than 100 families. That's abundance. One day I sat in a coffee shop with a very dear woman who happens to be here today. She was our very first Tapestry Farms volunteer. one person. I still have a picture of her from that day on my phone. And now last year, we had approximately 300 people who engaged in our work in some way. Again, sheer abundance. And they all bring gifts, each of them different. You might see Todd Byerly working downstairs, running the internet across the ceiling, or someone taking a child for a ride to preschool class. The third story, every year, there's a gentleman on my phone. I don't even know what his name is in my phone. He's known as Grandpa Indore. Indore is the African eggplant we grow every year, and he has starter plants in his basement. He was a farmer in Burundi, and so he makes some money every year by starting some plants. And we go and we pick up, I don't know, maybe 150 plants from him. And we plant them, and they're tiny. And then it results in pounds and pounds and pounds of African eggplant. Last year, we grew more than 11,000 pounds of produce. We started on a very small plot, me in the cold, because someone told me that potatoes should be buried on Good Friday. That's terrible advice. Don't do that. It's cold. It's miserable. The ground is hard. Wait. It's okay to wait until May, for real. So this year, our goal will be 15,000 pounds of produce grown. So even on the days that I'm scared or I have anxiety about whether we're going to have enough money, there's always, always abundance. So in your bulletin today, there is a sheet that talks a little bit about what we do. We are having a person start February 1st to help us with volunteer coordination, because while I love all of the volunteers, we need help. So you'll be meeting Leslie. You'll see her in the halls here. And I really hope you'll engage. We have a four-year-old who lives by St. Ambrose who really needs to go to preschool, so she'll be ready for kindergarten. We have some moms who could really use not just getting out of the house, but learning English and helping their kids engage. We are hoping to engage backyard gardeners to grow food for their local food pantry. We happen to have a pantry here now, so that's handy. But if you would like to choose your own pantry, you're welcome to do so. As some of you have already found out, we're downstairs most of the time, not all of the time. So stop by and say hello. We'll be happy to see you. I cannot say strongly enough what a gift it is for us to be on the ground floor of Trinity. It has already prompted more abundance for us than we could have ever imagined. So thank you for welcoming us. And I look forward to meeting all of you.
Thank you, Anne. The evangelist John wants us to know from the very beginning of his narrative that for Jesus, abundance is more than volume. Abundance is about surprise, joy, wonder, and improvement. To experience real joy is to see abundance everywhere, to be enjoyed and to be shared, to make the choice for joy, a joy that is not dependent upon circumstance. With Tapestry Farms, we have an opportunity to share the gifts of the Spirit given to us for the common good, Paul says. Yet with those who do not yet know abundance and joy, and do so with a community of people whose own joy will shine as a light in this corner of the world. Amen.